6 trends that are happening right now in e-commerce that you don't want to miss out on. You ready? Let's go. Welcome to the How to Sell Online podcast, where you can learn how to start, launch, and grow your online store from amazing people who've been right where you are now. Hi, I'm Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building 4 multi-million dollar online businesses with a husband, 4 kids, and a dog. Each week, you're going to hear real open and honest conversations with people who share how they started selling products online, created their own successful online businesses. I'll also bring on experts from a variety of fields who share tips, tricks, and inspiration to give you the answers you need to achieve your goals even faster. So get ready to learn how to sell online, kick fear in the teeth, and learn to live your best business life. Why? Because you can. Hey, welcome to the Because I Can Live podcast. This is Allison, and so thrilled that you are here because I'm guessing that you want to learn how to make money online, or you're currently doing it and want to grow and to scale. Well, I'm showing up for you. Why? Because I can. And learning how to sell online has completely changed my life, and I want it to change yours. So I'm going to keep showing up for you, keep sharing information with you, bringing on amazing guests. So hopefully one day you can be a guest on the podcast too, and I can brag about you because of your success. All right, today's interviewee, Brian Bowman. He's been on the podcast 3 times, I think, previously. I'll leave links in the show notes down below. I love working with Brian. I've known him for about 6 years now, and his brilliance through e-commerce just shines so incredibly bright. So I look forward to the time where we get to do these interviews to share with you. And today I asked him to prepare some of the top trends that he is seeing in the e-commerce world that you're going to be able to implement today. Now, there's a lot that we're going to go through. And at the end, I'll give you my top 10 takeaways. But as you are writing these ideas down, don't get overwhelmed. Okay, listen to it. Pick out 1 or 2 things that you want to implement. Some are going to take like 5 minutes. Others might take a week or 2. But remember, building your online business isn't doing everything all at the same time. It's just 1 step at a time. And those things add up and lead you to the results that you are going for. So you ready? Let's dive into the podcast episode. On your mark, get set. Let's go. Welcome, welcome. You guys may be familiar with Brian. If not, you just know that I absolutely love working with Brian. Like, he gets numbers really well. He gets e-commerce. Like, he's just brilliant. And so he's such a special guest to be able to bring on. I think, is this your 3rd time or 4th time on the podcast?
I don't know. I think it's like 3rd or 4th time. Yeah.
So he's pretty much a regular.
Yeah, this is like my regular spot, my quarterly spot.
I know. I love it. I love it. And I reached out to him and I was like, Brian, can we talk about trends that are happening in e-commerce right now? Things that we need to be watching or testing and using because we don't want to fall behind. And if we can stay on top of it, it's just going to move our business a lot forward. So Brian Bowman, so glad you're here. So glad you're here.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate, again, yeah, all the kind words, but I love coming on. I love, the longer I've been in this business, you know, the smaller the group of people that I just really trust and know that truly have the best interest of their community and their people, and really just want to get quality information out there and really truly help people. And you're certainly in that ever shrinking circle, you know. You're so I love working with you. I love working with your people.
You're amazing.
Your genuineness, your sincerity, like, it comes through in the people that you attract to the podcast, to your community. So it's just been a pleasure. Everyone I've had the chance to work with, not just in the lives, but even, like, you know, more one-on-one, like, it's just been awesome. So thank you. And I'm excited to talk about this because I think this is the stuff that, it's the beginning of the year. There's lots of time to capitalize on this and to grow your business. And I think that's probably the one place I would start, is just how e-commerce has changed and understanding the trend in terms of how it affects people's businesses, you know, going forward.
Okay, so let's just dive into it. I know you brought notes. I brought notes too. This is a rarity because we usually just like wing it and it works.
Just out. Wing it, yeah.
But this time I really wanted to dive into trends. So why don't you kick it off and start with one of the trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to always do, if you've ever taken anything from a personal development course to deciding you want to start a business, right, to doing something in your life, like, is mindset. So, and I'm not saying go into it like positive thinking, but just truly understand that, like, where our initial conditions of when we go into our business affect everything else we do. So, and this is just coincidental that as I was researching and I was thinking, I was brainstorming, I realized, like, this is an important trend for us to recognize, is the growth in the industry. Now, we always talk about there's this growth, like, you know, e-commerce is a whatever 0.7 trillion, you know, $4.7 trillion business. And it is, it just continues to grow, right? We've seen that where retail is going down, e-commerce is going up. But I think a big thing that happened in 2020 is with everything that happened in the world, it accelerated people's willingness to try e-commerce, right? To try buying virtually. Because I think one of the big barriers has always been trust. So now that all these people have done this, yes, we all experienced 2021 for most people was lower sales than 2020, right? And it, not just small businesses, look at the big companies, look at all these layoffs that are happening. Now that makes headlines, right? Oh, Zoom is letting these many people off, or Amazon, but you got to realize how many people they hired. So they still have more people on staff than they did before. It's just they sort of overhired and they're cutting back. The whole point being that, you know, all tech sort of accelerated and e-commerce did that as well. So from a mindset perspective and understanding the landscape, like, this is an amazing time to be in e-commerce because sales are still growing, but it's important to understand why sales are growing. And it's because people are truly, they're starting to trust the platform more. So now it's not just the big brands or Amazon, right? It's like small brands, people trust it now. They know their stuff's going to get delivered. They're going to pay and they're actually going to get something. So that, I think that's a huge thing to know, because to realize that because that barrier is gone down, the future is full of potential for your brand, even if you're just starting out.
I love that you're saying this too, because especially with the news, they're going to take the littlest, tiniest speck of drama and blow it up. My biggest advice here would be to turn off the news. All the fear about recession, all the fear about inflation, all that kind of stuff. People still need products. Some of the most amazing businesses have been built during a recession. And so, right, mindset, like if you're like, oh, we're going into a recession or scary time or it's dropping off, that's not going to do anything for you. I really love that you say that there's so much room and so much opportunity right now, because we're seeing it. We're seeing it with all of our companies.
And especially when you have low ticket items. Now, to one thing I will say that we've noticing as a trend is like very high ticket things are actually selling really well online. And I think it goes back to that trust factor. As long as it's still a good deal. I mean, we have someone we work with that literally their average order value is $400, like just under. It's like $398. You'd think like, oh my gosh, you could never sell that, you know, direct to consumer through Shopify. And it's growing like crazy. So as an aside, yes, high ticket works as well, like higher ticket, but keep in mind, a lot of you are selling things, average order values of, you know, $25, $35, $45. A lot of that's, it's almost like a retail therapy. So if people are cutting back on things, oh my gosh, they can treat themselves with this bath bomb kit or whatever, you know, this small thing that still's there. But I cannot agree with you more, Allison. I've done this for a long time in our home, you know, in my life is cut the news out. You got to remember it serves them. The news, they need to take something and make a headline out of it, right? They have to make it scary. So they're not going to say, even that with hiring, it's not in their best interest to say companies hired so much, they're cutting back, but they still have more people on staff than they did before. Like that's not sexy. Sexy is people are shocked to hear that 20% layoffs and like that gets our attention, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
And they get paid on clicks. I don't know if people realize this, but they have to make those headlines so shocking that people click through, because then advertisers will pay to be on that page. And so if the title's lame, they're not going to get any traffic. That means they're not making any money. So they get incentivized to make more drama than really that's out there. Exactly. Okay. So I want to go down this a little bit more. A few, like 2015-ish, we saw free plus shipping and handling products go out. I remember quite a few. We did it. There was a car seat cover. Do you think that is going to come back? Or do you think people are reading through the lines on that one and saying, oh, shipping and handling is like three times as much as actual product? What do you think about that?
We shied away from that actually probably like a year ago. If I had to guess, I don't see it coming back. I think the consumer is getting savvier, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the advantages is of running ads. So some of you know, so you have to get traffic to your store, right? Somehow. There's no secret sauce to this, like no secret to the process, right? You have to get traffic. That's the first domino you have to knock down. Whether it's influencers, deal sites, your own social media that you build up, which is definitely something to talk about in terms of trends, or going out and running paid ads. And there's definitely a process that I would recommend you follow. But my traffic source that I've honed in on is paid ads. Now, one advantage of running paid ads is you get to see a lot of comments, right? Because people leave comments in the ads. So it's almost like the same way you'd see reviews for your product on the product page, you see reviews for their initial impression of the offer, the ad, the brand, things like that, because they'll write it in the comments. And one thing that we just saw this huge uptick is anytime we did a free plus shipping. And by the way, I'm not saying always listen to people, what they say in ads and social media, like people are, who knows, like just don't pay attention, but there can be some valuable feedback. And there was this sort of like, people got frustrated, right? That it was $12 with $9 shipping or whatever, or, you know, a $12 product with $9 shipping. And while in a lot of cases, it may be that, you know, you're still taking a loss all in, product plus the shipping, and you're hoping to recoup it in the upsells, right? Still, people were kind of getting wise to it because I think some brands were taking advantage of it. And I just don't know that I see that going back. It's kind of like the drop shipping stuff for a long time, right? Same time, 2015, 2016, 2017, people were making a ton of money drop shipping from China, set up a Shopify store, connect an app that would connect to AliExpress. You would put the listing on the store. It would, in the behind the scenes, you'd charge 20, it would buy it for 10, e-pack it, ship it, and you'd make your $7 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you would never see the product, right? Well, the problem is the returns were through the roof because people were getting these things and, you know, from the packaging, you have never seen the product yourself as a vendor, as a merchant. Then you're shipping this thing over to people. They see it. It's nothing like what you described. So that was like a trend, but I think people got savvy to it. And I don't see that like ever coming back. Kind of the same thing, like free plus shipping. I think you're better off being upfront about the cost and just having a really good deal.
That's super interesting. We have a free plus offer, shipping handling offer out there. And we didn't run a ton of Facebook ads to it, but we ended up selling over 800 items with it. And it's not like it, like in the past, we would have sold, you know, 800 in a week or a month. It is going down quite a bit. I was just wondering your take on that, what you were seeing in the market.
I would venture. I mean, again, it's always tough to make predictions, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I would think that was something that worked for a time. And I think it's time to shift to some other
models. Yeah, I agree. Okay. What else you got? What other trends you seen?
So I have a few things. Let's talk about social media. I mean, it's nothing. This isn't anything new. I just think that it's something that for those of you who've ignored it, maybe it's time to sort of get over it and embrace it. Is we have enough data now over the past few years to know that your presence on social will absolutely affect the growth of your brand. I think I read a statistic. I think 9 out of 10 people who follow a brand that sells product will buy from that brand. Like it's an overwhelming amount.
Yeah.
And let's be fair. Like I don't like social media. I don't like doing it and anything, but if you own a brand, an e-commerce brand, direct to consumer brand, it's super important for you to have a brand presence. And I can say that when I look at the people that we work with in the business, those that have a strong social media presence, those are way easier brands to scale than the ones that don't. So that obviously is like its own topic, but I think now's the time. If you've sort of been like, I don't really want to do the social thing. I get it on a personal side. And you're not wanting to sort of be involved in social media all the time and always in it. But for your brand, I think it's really important going forward because more and more people are, that's how they're doing product discovery. That's how they're figuring it out, that they want it and they connect with you. And that's one thing I want to talk about is like connecting with your values as a brand and really leaning into those. So just as an example, you know, we've had success, a lot of success working with a few categories of brands. One is faith-based. So the brands that really just step into their faith, if you're a Christ-centered brand, then be a Christ-centered brand. Like, don't shy away from it. If you are a patriotic, if you love America and that's your brand, like step into that. Have brand values. And we've always known that, but it has always been a thing like we have great prices, a great product, and we stand for this, you know, we are made in America or whatever, right? Make the value of your brand a centerpiece of the brand, because that, and use social to put that out, right? And use your ads, if you're using ads, use that to put it out, because more and more consumers are wanting to connect with that part of the brand than just, you know, a great deal.
Agreed. And then can I just separate real quick? Because I teach a lot of people that they don't have to have social. So I just need to separate the two out, what we're talking about. If you don't want social, you don't have to do it, but go on marketplaces that do have social media. Leverage their social media that they're using.
Yeah, that's
if you're really going smart. Out yeah, that's building great. Your own Shopify store and you want more views, then yes, you can absolutely lean into social media. So I just wanted to separate the two because I have a lot of students that are like, I do not want to do social media. And it's not a deal breaker. We just have to mold it a little bit differently than the regular social media.
Yeah. And that's a great point. Actually, even like is leveraging marketplaces. Yeah. That have a strong brand presence. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of looking for trends in your business, realize that big brands, not a small brand that you notice is doing well, but I'm talking big brands and the biggest brand out there. You know, we think of big brands like Nike or, you know, Tesla or something. Yes, those are big brands, but the biggest brand out there is Amazon in terms of consumer goods, right? Direct to consumer. And what I mean is, yes, there's a lot of people selling on Amazon, but they're not really buying from that brand. Like when someone goes on Amazon and when you go on Amazon, generally when you buy something, a French press or something, you're not buying that brand. You're buying the best one on Amazon with the most reviews. So go on Amazon and spend some time not looking at it as a consumer, but as a business owner and look at the trends of what they're doing because they're educating the consumer, right? On how to shop and what to look for. So there's a lot of things you can replicate. And there's one big one that I want to talk about today that you can actually start playing around with because of Shopify. They've made it accessible, but look at what's working there and get ideas as well. I'm not saying it's going to work for you, but it's a place to shop for ideas for you to test.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. What were you going to say about, what were you leading into? Because I think I know.
I got a couple of things. So I don't want to skip over this, the brand values thing. Really take time to list this out for your brand. This was an exercise back when we used to help brands really with the brand building side of things. One process we would take them through is figuring out your, you know, you have your unique selling proposition. Everyone knows that. The USP, the unique selling proposition. Dan Kennedy used to have this question to help you to frame the answer, which would be, why should I, the consumer, spend money on your brand given all the other options available to me in the marketplace, right? So kind of starting there as a prompt, ask yourself that question and then just start writing because that really is the question you want to answer better than anyone else. Then he would break it down to these other sort of sub propositions of that big unique selling proposition. He would have unique value proposition, unique experience proposition, unique, what was the other ones? I forgot, they don't come to mind immediately, but one of them was unique value proposition. So it's like understanding why your product is more valuable, but also experience. And part of the experience are your brand values and really leaning into that, okay? And then bake that into everything you do. What I mean is in the emails you send out, in the copy you write for your Shopify pages, in the text you send, like in everything you do, in your images, take those values that are unique to your brand and just bake them into everything so that people really, they start associating that with your brand. And if they align with that, they're going to start aligning with your brand. And if they don't, they'll be repelled. And that's a really good thing. You want to create contrast. You don't want to be the product for everyone. in a world full of choices now, you want to stand out. Like, you want to either be attracted to the consumer or repel, or like you want the customer repelled by your product. You don't want to be lukewarm at all.
Okay. So I just typed in chat AI, what Dan Kennedy's were, and it was a clear and compelling promise, unique and valuable benefits, a specific target market, and a clear and compelling offer. Were those the four you were looking for?
We could actually talk about how we're using AI, like ChatGPT right now too.
It's so magical. Like, we don't have to remember anything. We can just go type it in.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about that? Because that's probably one of the biggest things that we're playing around with, is like ChatGPT with our stores. So think of in the current iteration of AI and what we're able to access in terms of AI, because there's stuff going on with AI that we can't access, right? Like what the companies are doing behind the scenes, but the stuff that they've made available to us. Think of AI. And again, this is one of those things where you have a fork in the road. You could be like, oh, scared, be the ostrich that buries their head in the ground and is just afraid. Or you could see like, okay, there's an opportunity here and let's leverage that opportunity. I will always choose the path of there's an opportunity here. Like Allison said at the beginning, you know, you can be like, oh no, there's a recession and oh, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be so hard. Or you could see, hey, every great company that's ever been built has always been built in bad times. And probably it won't be as bad as the news wants you to think, right? Because they, like Allison said, they need clicks. And B, if it is, there's probably still an amazing opportunity. So find the opportunity. Now, where I see AI right now and how we're actually leveraging it currently, I think of it as an employee. I think of it as a free employee that is like a college level, has college level ability. It's not professional yet. It can't replace a great copywriter. It can't replace someone who creates great ads, and it can't replace it, but it's like free labor at a pretty good level. And then we just take what it gives us and we test it and we try to give it better prompts, so it gives us a better thing to work with. So what I mean is, let's say I want to write copy for my product pages. I have a new product, I've launched it, right? Writing copy for a product page is like, what do I say? Take your best-selling product. This is like an assignment for everybody. Figure out your values, okay? So let's say you come up, and I mentioned Christ-centered. So you're a Christ-centered brand. Cool. That's a bullet point. What about your product is really, you know, what is your unique selling proposition? It's handmade. I'm just making stuff up. Handmade. And made by US veterans. Like, this is actually one of the brands we work with. And take, let's say, part of like something about your customer, which customers buy your product, like personality traits they might have. Let's say they're patriotic. Okay. So plug that into ChatGPT. So write a product description for, you know, an online product, you know, e-commerce product that is handmade in the US by veterans, Christ-centered, like put that in there and let it spit something out. And you can actually generate a few versions of that. Mm-hmm. So if you find one of those that's pretty good, you're like, oh man, but I would like it to include that we also have had over 10,000 customers that are satisfied. Take the prompt. So like iterate to refine the prompt and let it spit out product descriptions. If you want more of a story-based product description, okay, well, give it a story to write to sell the product. So use it as an employee. And we do this with product descriptions. We do it with ad copy. We do it for posts for like SEO, for like blog posts for the store. I think of it as a cheap employee that's free, works around the clock, and will give me a bunch of stuff to work with. Maybe 90% of it will be garbage, but 10% will have some value that I can actually use.
And I think we have to add in the next thing is they won't get annoyed when you say rewrite that. Can you rewrite that? Can you elaborate? We just skipped that whole frustrating part.
So we're doing it with ads right now. So we've gotten pretty good at the prompts we give it to like refine the ad copy and knowing what inputs to use to write, to kind of have the first thing it gives us to be pretty decent ad copy. And then you can use other, so we've started testing the image generators like DALL-E and Midjourney to give us the images for the ads.
Are you having success with the image generators yet?
The DALL-E ones come out more like clip art. The Midjourney ones are more artistic. So those we don't use as much, but the DALL-E 2, like those are actually, they're pretty cool, like clip art basically they're like stock images, the Dolly ones. So when you go to like Pexels or you go to a stock in like stock photo or like Shutterstock like that, you can create ones that are very like custom to your niche.
And then use that and then maybe Photoshop your product on there. Is that what you're thinking about?
No, I mean, what we've been doing is like if you want to tell a story in the copy, but there's like a certain stock photo you want, you can create kind of a photo that matches. So, cause the photo, what we're using the photo more is to create curiosity. Like, what's that? I don't know, like a guy surfing with a pizza, you know, or something like, you know, like it's just kind of weird, but it's like a hook to then get you to read the copy. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah. I was in Canva the other day and I was looking for a flat lay of a t-shirt, and I know I can go out and buy them, but there was a specific one that I had in my mind and it created it for me. And I was like, that's so great. I didn't have to actually take a picture. It just created it for me.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. And again, I would say just be ready that it's like a C student, like, you know, like college intern. Like it's not great, but every once in a while it's like, I don't know, that's actually a pretty good idea, Billy, you know, like we might use that.
You call him Billy. Yeah. Why isn't there a name for it yet? My goodness. We need one. Okay. So wait, we've covered mindset. We've covered embrace social media. We've covered your unique selling proposition and AI.
And values. I would just keep encouraging people, figure out the values of your brand, embrace them, and don't be afraid to put them out there. I'm telling you, the brands that I've seen do the best, they take the lovers and the haters, right? They just accept it, embrace it, and their people rally behind their brand. And not every brand can do that, right? You sell pillows. It's like, but if there's a personal value you have, make it as part of the brand value, you know, like embrace that, because it is just a great way to, first of all, feel very passionate about your brand. You know, if you take a pillow company or a throw blanket company that you have, you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to sell some product, but you bake in some of your values, it becomes more personal, right?
For sure.
And I think that there's an opportunity there to create some polarity, which is always good for a brand. And it kind of builds a moat. So, you know, Warren Buffett from Berkshire Hathaway talks about building a moat. A moat essentially is like the thing that protects the castle. I thought this was pretty cool. So I went to Paris because Allison said it was awesome. So I'm like, why not?
It's amazing. Let's go. Oh my gosh, I ate so many.
It really is, by the way. I'm telling you, anybody who says, oh, they're so rude, they're not. You know who's rude? New Yorkers are rude. Like that's rude. Like Parisians are not rude. And the other thing I realized is when you go into like a bakery, I was thinking about this, the flip side, right? Like imagine someone from Paris, like with like, oh, like a French accent, like they walk in and you're at like at a Starbucks here. And they're like, give me a coffee. You just be like, no, like, who are you? That's essentially what we're doing. If we walk into a bakery, they're like, a baguette. No, how about you say hi, you know? Yeah. So when you walk in, what I realized is if you walk in and you're like, bonjour, and like, they can tell by the way I say it that I'm not French, then right away they start speaking English. But they're super polite then, right? And just say, okay, merci, merci beaucoup. Like, so that's one thing I realized is I think people, when they're like, oh, they're so rude, they just go in there like entitled. Like, at least try, right? At least try to say a few words. It's amazing. The food's amazing. Anyway, sorry.
Allison, it is. I love that you brought this up because it was not even on my to visit list. Cause I was like, it's so cliche. It's over like talked about. And I get there. I'm like, I can't believe I almost didn't get to experience this. It was magic. I don't even know how else to explain it, but it was just magic.
Yeah. It was awesome. I would say don't listen to what people say. It's amazing. The food is insane. It's crazy. So, but one thing I was going to say is in Paris, you know, there's the Seine River, and Paris is huge, right? There's all these like arrondissements, and it's like, it's massive, but there's this little area in the middle where Notre Dame Cathedral is. It's like Île de Cité, which is the original city center. Like the original city was just that little island. And the reason they put it there is because it's surrounded by water, right? Surrounded by the Seine River. So there was like a little fortress there, and there would be moats, like bridges to cross in. And then basically, if anyone was going to attack the city, they could just burn down the bridges, tear down the bridges, and they were safe. So that idea of a moat around a castle, think of your brand as the castle. And what Buffett talks about is building a moat around that brand. Now, we think about companies that have great moats. You know, this is why he invests in companies like Coca-Cola, Gillette, Hershey's, right? These are companies that 100 years from now, Coca-Cola is going to be around, right? 100 years from now, Hershey's will probably still be a chocolate brand that people will buy because they built those moats. Now, you may not be able to build a moat like Hershey's right now, maybe in time, who knows, maybe you will, but realistically, you probably won't. However, there are things you can do to build that moat. So when invaders come to attack your castle, which trust me, you get big enough, there's gonna be some people who are gonna copy your stuff. They're gonna try to be like you. They're gonna see it's working, but guess what? There's only one, there's only the original, okay? So things like your connection with people, right? The fact that you've embraced your brand values, that is a kind of moat that people, yes, they could buy that alternative that just popped up, but they have like a relationship with your brand. And that's really important. And one of the ways to do that is to lean into those brand values.
You know, I'm so glad you're saying this, Brian, because when I started Pick Your Plum, I didn't know what I was doing, but I really did lean into connection. And it wasn't my face, but the brand was leaning into the connection, and it created tattletellers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got this whole community that is going to report people if they're still in my pictures, if they're knocking me off. And so all I would do is just send a lawyer letter to them, and then they would take it down. And it just took off so much pressure from me. And I was grateful for my community. And even now today, oh my gosh, people are telling me all the time, Allison, someone's impersonating you on Instagram. Someone stole this from you over here. And I'm just so grateful that when you do pour your values in, people love it and they respect you. And they're at the fortress saying, bring it on. You can't take her down, bring it on. And they're there helping to protect you. I love that you're
adding they're like your army. They're like, awesome. I love that. That actually happened recently with someone that I know, same thing. Someone was kind of ripping off their stuff and like tattletales, like people are telling on them. It's awesome. Yeah. They're like your eyes and ears.
They are. Cause you're so focused here and they're just browsing around. They're like, I recognize that shouldn't be there. And you can't do that on Amazon, but you can totally do it on your own store.
Oh, I love that. So you were saying you're kind of reviewing. So that's another thing. It's just leaning those brand values. Another thing that's big is personalization. Now, when I say personalization, this could mean a couple of things.
That's
a couple things.
Number one on my list. Can you see it? When I wrote my list out, you can't.
Okay. So there's two ways to think of this personalization. One is personalization of the product. Two is personalization of the experience. And both of those are things that we're seeing. They've always been a thing. And that's, I think I led with that at the beginning. It's not like there's only one thing on my list that I would say is truly, truly like a trend that we haven't really seen before. And I'll get to that at the end. Actually, two. AI. I think AI is like a trend that wasn't, 6 months ago, we weren't using ChatGPT to create ad copy. And then this other thing I'll bring up. But personalization, everyone's always talked about it, right? The ability to customize a shirt or something. But I think more and more, because people are getting used to like, okay, you've got my data. I think people are now expecting like do something with it, right? They're expecting a more personalized experience now. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe Allison, you want to talk about probably like the personalizing product, right? Because I think it's something that you're doing with like the print on demand or no?
Yes, but I think where you're going with this is exactly where I want to go. Like personalization, great, add it to your products. But it's so much bigger. And I want to talk about that bigger part that you're leading into, because when people see personalization, they're like, I don't want to personalize my products. That takes so long.
Yep. Okay,
great. Cool. You don't have to.
And we didn't even talk about this, by the way. We're on the same page. We're seeing the same thing and we didn't discuss this. So yeah. So let's high level personalization is the customer experience. So not just, before we've known in an email, okay, you could put insert first name, right? So instead of, hey there, hey, Allison. Okay, cool. That's one layer of personalization. We send out a text. If you're not SMS, you're not using SMS, text marketing, using an app like PostScript or something, or through Klaviyo, they also have SMS. There's a lot of options. Start looking into that. And when you send those out, yes, you want to personalize them with a name and things, but you want to go like a layer deeper. The more data you can have on the customer, first party data, data that they've given you, you want to incorporate more of it. So product recommendations, segmentation in your emails, right? When you look at Klaviyo, like really segment out the people who've bought a certain product, the people who seem to be interested in a certain type of product, the people who are your high tick, your high, I guarantee you go in Klaviyo, if you've been in business for a year, you go in Klaviyo, you're going to have a couple people who've spent over $400 on a product that costs, $30 or whatever. You're like, what, segmenting it, talking to them in a special way because they're different than all the other customers. There's been a big uptick in like quizzes, surveys, things like that to collect information. And now that you've collected it, do something with it. There's a company that I just read about. They're getting a lot of traction. I don't know. They might be an enterprise level solution. So you can go to their website and check it out and find an app that's comparable that does it cheaper. But there's a company called, I think it's Jebbit, J-E-B-B-I-T, Jebbit.com, I think. And they've got some cool like ideas, and you can actually sign up for a free trial. You could see some of their product ideas like surveys and quizzes and things like that. Using that to collect information. So let's say you sell, I don't know, give me a product, Allison.
Toothbrushes.
Okay. So like the kind of a classic survey is like, what type of toothbrusher are you? I don't know. Or you sell home decor, like which decorator type are you, right? Those kind of quizzes, have them on your site and then use them to collect data. Like you collect information because you're going to ask questions about them. And it could be anything from their style, like the colors they like. So you're getting all this info. Well, now personalize their experience after that. The emails you send them, the products you recommend. And I think we've done this in the past as kind of like a decoy. And what I mean by that is we ask you five questions, but it's like one question is called the bucket question. And if you, because we used to do this thing called free skin score to sell beauty products. And there'd be like five or six questions, but one of them was like the real, like the trigger question. So we'd ask you all these things, how much water do you drink? Are you, basically, are you hydrated? Are you this? But then one would be describe your skin type. And if it was oily, dry, like whatever you chose there, we would recommend products based on that one question. Well, I think we need to go deeper. It's like we asked six questions. We have six data points that we can collect from now. So use that to create a very custom experience for each customer.
Yeah, I love it. I use something called Try Interact. It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, That was the one we used to use. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. And I love it because once people get started on that quiz, we have like a 95% completion rate. So once they're in, they're invested in. And then we were able to shoot them different emails based on what their answers were.
Yeah. So personalizing the experience and then I think going down that rabbit hole and seeing like, okay, how else can I do it is a good exercise, but I would definitely focus on your emails, your texts. If you're texting, think about product recommendations based on the data you have. Try out one of those quizzes. I think one of the first brands I heard of that did this really well and used it to collect a lot of leads and sell a lot of product was Beard Brand. They had a what type of beardsman are you quiz. They had these different categories. And after you answered all these questions, they collected all this first party data from you. So think about it. This is people are willingly, they're giving you this information about themselves. That's huge. That's already building trust, right? And you're using it now to create a truly customized experience. That's cool. That's different than anything I'm going to experience on Amazon, right? Or any big marketplace or any big brand. And it's actually product that like you want. So they were able to collect the lead, get the information, and then show them stuff that was really relevant and make a lot of sales from that.
And every time quizzes pop up, it just reminds me of like the 17 magazines that I would pick up.
And, right.
I don't know if you did it, Brian, but I was obsessed with those quizzes. And as adults, and even teenagers, we don't like, I don't buy magazines anymore, but I see a quiz like personality type. I'm like, oh, what kind of personality do I have? Right. They're just so fun to do. And I just think it's instead of the magazine that goes nowhere, people are actually able to collect that data now. And like yes. you said, cater to their experience.
Yeah. And going back to your point, Allison, you know, Charlie Munger is one of my, I remember talking about him like 10 years ago, like 8 years ago or something, and like the mastermind, he talks about these like mental models. And one of them is, you know, people, there's a thing called consistency and commitment bias. So basically when people start doing something, they tend to finish it. So going back to Allison's point, when they click start the quiz and then they answer one question, it's this feeling of like, okay, I've already started. Let me just finish it. Right. So that completion rate is there and you collect all that information. It's also why it's good to have, when you look at opt-ins for like lead magnets and stuff, two-step order forms, two-step opt-in forms tend to perform better than single step. So one where I have to click, yes, I want the thing. And then the pop-up says, okay, name and email. Those tend to convert at a higher percentage than the ones that have name and email and a submit button on the front page. Because when I click, okay, yes, I want it. I'm like, ugh, I've already started. I've made kind of like a micro commitment. So, okay, I'll finish the opt-in. It's just like a human like bias that we have.
Love yeah. his advice. Okay. You got any more on personalization?
No, I think that's it. I think also like post-purchase, just going back to product recommendations, not just before purchase, but after purchase, you know, if someone has bought, especially if you have a lot of SKUs, right? If someone has bought certain products, like hone in on those products and products that are related to that. It's a lot to think of at first. So don't feel like you have to tackle all this at first. Start with just one piece, right? And personalize your emails a little bit more. And then maybe you try the quiz and like try to take one element of that and use it in your product recommendations or in your personalization. But over time, you can really layer all this stuff in and make it somewhat complex in that it's like very, very personalized. So people feel like you're truly just speaking to them. I think that's a trend. And what's going to happen is this is going to happen. Those that do it now, because I don't see this going away. And I think it does go back to this idea that, hey, you've got my data. Okay, fine. I'll give it to you. But like, what's in it for me? I think that's the consumer's mindset is like, I'm expecting a personalized experience now because I know you've got my name. I know you like know what I like, you know what I buy. Like, so then fine, this is the deal, right? You've got that, but now there's gotta be something in it for me. And I think that the brands that start to do it now are going to see it. They're going to see an increase in revenue. But I think what's going to happen is it's going to become more and more commonplace where, you know, a year from now, if you're not doing it, I think it'll be something that'll work against you, you know? So I think the sooner you can get on board with that and embrace it, the better off you're going to do because you're going to be a first mover still. And it's going to become, I think, par for the course in the next, you know, year or two. So the sooner you start, the better.
Yep. Agreed. Can I add another personalization touch to?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
Live shopping experiences. Now, when I say that, I can just hear most of my audience going, I don't want to be on camera. Hire someone else. Yeah,
like putting on makeup live and stuff.
We are seeing it explode over on How Does She when we do things like this. And there's a business called Comment Sold. Have you heard of that company? Where you're literally going live and you're like, here's my pen. It sparkles, it gets the glitter out of your head, like the gold out of your head to write down on paper. Does anybody want this? If you do, just comment sold, and then it automatically sends them an invoice for them to be able to click and buy. And I was reading the stats on it today. 4,000 retail shops are using it, but they have created billions of dollars in sales. If you divide that out, people are crushing it with live sales.
Comment Sold. Wow. Yeah,
that's the app. That's, and there's there's a few others, like Instagram Live Shopping. That one's a little bit newer. It's only up for 24 hours and then it goes away. So great urgency and scarcity. Facebook's doing it. Channelize is another one. I haven't used that one yet.
I think I've heard of that. Yeah.
But those are live shopping apps where you're literally selling live. And it's, people are like, is it like home, like the Home Shopping Network? And yes and no. So Home Shopping Network is limited. It's on your TV and you have to call in versus on social media. Social media can go anywhere and then you're able to communicate with people. So Brian, you have a question, you type it in and you're like, what ink is it black or is it blue ink? And you're like, oh, Brian, I'm so glad you asked. I forgot to tell you that. It is black ink. And I have used this pen for 6 years. I don't know where it keeps getting the ink from, but it's still going. You're going to be able to use this pen for years to come. And it is really personalized because you're able to say that person's name and answer questions. Like, how do you get more personalized than that? It's like an in-home shopper that you're able to talk with. So I thought that was really cool. You're on social media. It's on your phone, right? You don't actually have to call in and talk to a person. Like my kids, they don't answer their phone. They're like, just text me, mom. I'm like, I just want to hear your voice. Let me see it. More accessible. And yeah, just those real-time comments is just blowing it up. And Amazon is doing it now too. And like I said, with How Does She, we're testing this stuff and we're just seeing it just blow our minds.
That's so cool. So I want to look into that. So the app Comment Sold, is it its own app or does it like integrate into your Instagram feed? Like how does it work exactly?
Yeah, you have to integrate it.
So when the comment comes through, I know exactly how it works. Okay, cool. Because it's like a keyword. Got it. And the keyword triggers the invoice. Okay, very cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And probably send it to their inbox or something.
I had a friend who did something similar a few years back with an MLM company, and they were doing 6-figure months. Yeah, and it was funny. They would get product in, and some of the product, I don't want to say the company, because it was an MLM company, and the MLM company said they couldn't do this, but they did it anyway. Because they're like, we know it works. And they got sent a box of products that they would just live sell. And one of them was a piece of clothing, and it was tan. And if some people wear tan clothing like me, we just look naked, right? And so they were laughing about how this piece of, like, who's going to buy this? And they're like, what if we sign it? And so they signed this piece of fabric with their name, and it went for top dollar. And it was just so fun to watch them take a piece, like a product that normally people would have never been able to sell because on some skin colors, it just doesn't look like you're wearing any clothes. And they made it their top selling product. And then they were like, maybe we can get one next time. Oh, let's see if the tan clothing is in this week's box. And 6 figures in a month. And I just thought that was crazy. So cool. They created the habit with their customers. Okay, guys, we're going to be on it this time. You know, they sell fast. We have limited quantities. Make sure you're here with us. And it was fantastic to watch.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay, I'll make this one quick because I think this is something I've been excited about for a long time. And I think it's finally something that most people can test. So augmented reality has been something that the big brands have been able to test and use. So Amazon a long time ago, maybe a year and a half ago, came out with a feature where on your phone, you could say, see how this looks in my kitchen, right? And you could see appliance and you could see how it looked on your phone on the counter. Well, if you can imagine, that's like really, really expensive technology, right? And only the big, big brands had it. Now there are apps on Shopify that allow you to do this and similar things. So something to look into.
Share those apps.
Yeah. So we're messing with these and they have pretty good reviews, but not many, right? Because this is kind of new-ish. So there's one called AR and 3D Product Viewer. So that one allows you to do sort of AR and see how the painting would look on your wall, right? And you can do that. So mess with that. Another one is, and that one does it too, but there's one called Angle 3D Configurator. That one actually has quite a few reviews. And we're using it now with some home decor stuff. And all it is it allows you to see, because you got to remember with e-commerce, right? We have to replicate the offline shopping experience. So there are brands that are actually trying to create the feeling of scent. It's really weird when you think about it, right? What it smells like and feels like, even though you could never actually do that online, but they're trying to find ways to replicate that. So brands are just trying to find ways to whatever they can do to replicate the offline experience online. So the Angle 3D Configurator, basically it'll take the product and it'll create like a 3D rendering so people can rotate the product in the product description, right? So anything that allows people to experience the product more like they would offline is going to give you an advantage in conversions. So that app is pretty cool. Again, really affordable. Imagine you have a painting. Well, it's like now they could see it, but they could rotate it, right? They could rotate it around in space, especially with items like clothing, like any item, anything that I can rotate around, I can really like sort of see the product 3D. So that I'm excited about because that's something that wasn't available a year ago. And I think it could be one of those things that could really help your product or maybe do nothing, but it's not going to hurt. So it's certainly worth testing because there's no risk to trying it.
One time I bought a couch online and I was like, sweet, it's going to get delivered. I was so excited about it. And I had it where I was going to put it. It came to me, not kidding. It was like a Barbie couch. It barely fit one person like there. Couch. And so we called it the Barbie couch. And I can only imagine if that company had something like that, then I wouldn't have been disappointed. I mean, I used it because I bought it, but and Jared sat on it and his limbs are like overflowing
on it. Legs flopped over this way, arm this way.
Yep. Okay, can I add one more?
Yeah.
One more. I know you've had the last one, but then I'm going to have the last one. More ways to pay. I was reading a stat that mobile wallets like Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, Amazon Pay, it's like 50% of people are using mobile wallets to pay for their product. So if you're only offering credit card, I mean, Brian, have you done this too? Like you get to the cart and you're like, I don't have my credit card. It's in my car. It is not worth it. And then you get out of the shopping cart. You don't buy it. Cause me, I'm too lazy to go and get my wallet. Like at least give me a PayPal option. Right. But the mobile wallets are becoming absolute must.
Totally. Yep. That's a great one. And I'll say my own experience, Shop Pay. I never used to use that thing. You can download the Shop app. So if you buy a lot of stuff, because everyone's got a Shopify store now.
Yep.
So the Shop app.
I love that
one. I'm telling you, I use that thing all the time now. And when I log in, it knows my email. It knows everything. I click a button, I buy, and then the app updates me on shipping info and everything. I use it all the time now. In fact, like if it doesn't have it, I'm like, oh, I got to put my card in and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel joy when I see Shop Pay pop up when I buy stuff. I'm like, yes, I don't have to go find my credit card or PayPal. Like love, it's like this added dopamine rush for me that it allows me to be lazy in my shopping.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So Brian and I, if you haven't listened to his other podcast, go back and listen to him. I highly recommend if you're going down the Facebook route, you got to listen to the podcast with Brian. He's very, very smart with it. I've had a lot of students just dive right into Facebook ads, not knowing what they're doing, clicking on the blue box and losing a lot of money. So go listen to those other podcasts. We'll leave them in the show notes down below. And then if your business is, are you still about creating $100,000 in sales and you're ready to turn on Facebook ads? Is that about where you're at?
That's usually the right point. And that's usually the time when we can start scaling up. Yeah.
Perfect. Talk to Brian about scaling up. He is a master with Facebook ads. He hates giving money to Mark Zuckerberg.
unless I'm getting money back. If I'm giving him $1 and getting five, like I love it.
Let's all day keep going. All day long. Awesome. So where can people find you, Brian?
So yeah, I mean, a couple spots, obviously in your group, I go in once a month and do lives and community, you know, talk with the audience. So definitely find your way into Allison's group, whatever avenue you can find, because I'm in there. They can go to ecom1munderground.com, find out about me and the brand. And on YouTube podcast, I have a marketing for e-commerce podcast, and you can also find me on YouTube. But yeah, lots of stuff out there. But if people want to reach out, you know, brian@ecomunderground.com, or they can see me in your group because I am in there at least once a month. So
love it. I really appreciate you and all the info you give. You're awesome.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love coming on, and I think hopefully help a few people today and test out some of this stuff and see if it works for you, and definitely mess around with some of these new things too, like the AI and the AR and stuff. So,
yep. Awesome. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Brian Bowman, always such a pleasure to have on the podcast. He always comes with such a wealth of knowledge. All right. There was a lot of things, and I'm sure you wrote down a bunch of ideas and maybe thinking, oh, my to-do list is out of control. All right. I want you to only pick one thing at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. You can start implementing just one thing at a time. As entrepreneurs, we feel like we always have to get everything done at the same time, but that's our brain lying to us. Just one thing at a time. Little micro things consistently leads to the big giant. All right, so let's dive into the top 10 takeaways. Number one, mindset of customers. In 2020, they were forced to go online. They learned that online shopping was a great place to be. So the trust is at a great level for online stores. I love that perspective. And then I threw in there, turn off the news. Turn off the news. We are still in a good spot. That whole mindset with customers not buying or inflation or all that kind of stuff. Wah, wah, wah. Just turn it off, my friends. I haven't watched the news for so long and it feels so good. Number two, high ticket items still sell online. Number three, free plus shipping and handling. That's starting to trend down. Number four, time to embrace social media. Now, I did do the little differentiation in there. If you are like anti-social, that doesn't mean you have to stop. Just go on marketplaces where they can do the social media for you or leverage, work with influencers and they can do it. But something somewhere has to be doing it, whether it's the marketplaces or the influencers, or if your game plan is to get traffic coming to your store on a consistent basis, that is going to take social media today. All right, number five, list out your brand values. This one you could probably do in 5 minutes. I love how he brought up the faith one, or the, if you're a patriotic person, what are some others? Mine, love and shove. Another one, because I can. And then my third one is living in abundance. And I talk about those all of the time. Why? Because it's who I am. And I truly believe that that's what it takes to grow an online business. So start building yours out. Number six, AI. Talk about it on a lot of podcasts. Why? Because it's like a free employee. I love how he said that. And it's a free employee. You don't have to feel bad about when you say, can you redo your work? Again and again and again, gets the guilt right out of there. Number seven, build a moat. I love how he put that visualization in our head. We build that moat by connection, brand values. And then I brought in my favorite of tattletellers. They've been such a blessing in my business life. Tattletelling as a kid might have not been the funnest, but as a business owner, I relish, embrace, love tattletellers. And I will tattletale too. We work so hard. It's nice to have someone who is willing to go at it for us. Number eight, personalization. Not necessarily on product. Great. You can do it. Go. I've built personalization businesses. They've done well, continually do well. But we talked about personalization for the experience and really diving into product recommendations. Segmenting, finding out who your top buyers are so you can spoil them a little bit more, and things like quizzes. Number nine, live selling. Live selling, I think it is here to stay for a very long time. Again, if you don't want to be on camera, hire it out. There's plenty of people that love to be in the spotlight. Just hire them out. And then number 10, augmented reality. It's at our fingertips in apps that we can add to our Shopify store. Super fun. I love having Brian on. Make sure you go back and listen to previous podcast episodes with him. He's a wealth of information. I'll leave all those links down in the show notes. And have a beautiful day going out there, making money, put it in your pocket. Why? Because you can. All right. I'll see you next week. Bye. 'Kay, thanks for listening to the How to Sell Online podcast. Now I have a question for you. Would you like to know the kind of products that I sold to get me on the path of online selling success? If so, I think you're absolutely going to love this. I created a free downloadable idea album just for you, and it outlines 16 products that may just shock you, that helped me to hit my first $1 million in sales. And I made it super easy. All you have to do is go to becauseicanlive.com/gift. That's becauseicanlive.com/gift. And I will shoot it straight to your inbox. And then last but not least, be sure to set a reminder on your calendar for next week so you can come learn even more about how you can start, launch, and grow your online store so you can put that money in your pocket where it belongs. All right, friend, I'll see you next week.